Now on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WBBM, this is Bears Insider with Bears head coach Lovie Smith, his coaching staff, and the voice of the Bears, WBBM's Jeff Joniak. Brought to you by McDonald's and sponsored by North Shore University Health System and Walgreens.
Needing two wins and some help in the congested NFC Conference playoff race, the Bears ready for a trip to Arizona to take on the Cardinals Sunday afternoon. We'll talk about it and look back at the loss to the Pack. Next on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WBBM.
Bears Insider with head coach Lovie Smith continues. Now, here's the voice of the Bears, WBBM's Jeff Joniak.
Slot to the left, three receivers, snap is back, Bears rush four, pocket closes, in comes Peppers, spilling it from the right and down, he goes, Julius Peppers, a big third down sack of Aaron Rodgers, back to the 27-yard line of Green Bay.
Yeah, that was one of three sacks of Aaron Rodgers in the loss to the Packers yesterday at Soldier Field, he and Corey Rooten with a sack and a half each. I'm Jeff Joniak, and welcome into Bears Insider, featuring the head coach of the Chicago Bears, Lovie Smith. And with you until 8 o'clock tonight. Good evening. How you doing?
Doing great.
Pressure was good on Rodgers early. First half, first quarter, very good. But got to applaud, and he did. He applauded the game plan and the coaching in terms of what he had to face. And they felt at the end of the day, that was some tough duty at times against the Bears defense. But he was dodging tacklers, zigzagging around in the pocket. Again, everything you've seen before, everything we've seen before about his ability to keep a play alive.
Yes, he does a great job with that. He's a good athlete. And of course, he's smart and, you know, knows the game well. But you have to stay alive and just keep going because his most dangerous plays are really when he's on the move. And yesterday, we did get pressure at times, but just couldn't keep him pinned up always.
Yeah, and then those guys, they run their routes, and then they come back, and they come back to the ball. They know they're going to get back shoulder throws from him. You got to plaster coverage, that's what they say, but after a while, even that, if you can't get to the quarterback for a certain amount of time, that's tough. That's where they excel, and those guys still make the catches, the Cobbs and the Finleys and those guys.
Yes, they do, and what you mentioned about just getting open, I mean, that's a lot of what, you know, offensive football is nowadays when plays, when they break down and the quarterback starts scrambling, they just buy time for the receivers to get open. And it happened a lot yesterday.
You've taken stock of the loss now, both after the game and then today. Shed some light on what you're thinking right now.
Oh, just, you know, of course, disappointed. And, we've gotten off to slow starts, and that was a big thing, of course, jumping out on right away and to get a 7-0 lead and have them backed up. We had our opportunity there. It's a critical point in the game where we didn't come through. And I know there were big plays in the passing game, penalties and the different things like that, but needed to hammer them early, and we did.
Opening drive, move the ball, the penalty, and then you did score a touchdown to take the lead. That at that point in the game, and I brought this up to you last night, even looking back at the game, there was a lot of positive vibe going on for the Bears. Stadium was starting to really sprout to life. All three phases are making plays. And then you get the ball before the half. At worst, you're going to be tied. And that turnover turns out to be the critical blow in the game.
Yes, it did. And a great play by Matthews early on that, going back to the second down, when we did have that drive going and got to third and one and didn't convert or got the penalty and it knocked us back. But we did get ourselves back. It was a tough game, back and forth, like most rivalry games are. That turnover really did turn momentum back to our favor.
Today at the news conference, you also took stock of the situation the Bears are now in, the scenario, and you used the word now must wins. Didn't really reference that to the Green Bay Packers. People took you literally, though, in saying that that game wasn't a must win, that this is now your must win scenario, and that's the case, where you have to win to stay alive in the playoffs. But I think there was some confusion in terms of how they processed what you said.
I don't see where the confusion there shouldn't be confusion. Yesterday's game, if we didn't win it, Green Bay would be NFC North champions. That game would knock us out of the playoffs. That's where we are right now. We still have a chance to get in the playoffs. So now this is a must-win game. You can say every game is a must-win game, but in reality, they're not. You want to win all of them. Now, though, we have to win out in order to achieve our goals.
As a team, and you saw the emotion building up to the week from what you players said, from Brandon to Lance and you every year, about the need to beat the Green Bay Packers and what it means. And then after the game, Brandon Marshall, very emotional. Out of all of them, I mean, does this one hurt more for some reason? It seems like it does.
Well, it does, but you referenced Brandon, but there were a lot of guys hurting, you know, and I mean, all the guys were hurting, and all of the guys, you know, wanted to win, but and when it's a rivalry game and you want to win so bad, you know how important it is. One of our goals was to win the NFC North Division, and by not winning that game yesterday, we allowed someone else to do it, so that was a big deal, and believe me, we're still hurting over it, but you do have to move on.
Now, more of the Bears Insider with head coach Lovie Smith on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WBBM.
Second and 8, 15-yard line. Snap back to Cutler. Pocket holds. Throwing over the middle. Caught Marshall. Stiff arm. Right to the 5. Marshall's in. Touchdown. Touchdown, Bears. And he slings the ball to the second level of the north end zone here at Soldier Field. There was nothing going to deny Brandon Marshall from his 10th touchdown of the year. Bears take the lead.
And that is the play of the week brought to you by McDonald's. Brandon Marshall just a few yards away from setting the Bears' single-season reception record in terms of yardage held by Marcus Robinson. I think, believe, back in 1999, Marcus Robinson still living in the Chicago area, but that was a 1,400-yard season, and Brandon's sure to break that as he continues his assault on the Bears' record books. Welcome back to Bears Insider featuring head coach Lovie Smith. Here until 8 o'clock, we'll be joined by Bears receivers coach Daryl Drake coming up in our next segment. So let's talk about Marshall, bracketed by the pack. We talked about his emotions before and after the game. And on that touchdown, that really encompassed everything that he is, again, the physical receiver he is after the catch.
Yes, big body. And he blocks that way, too. So, but that is how he plays the game. I mean, you know, ball's thrown in his area, he has a chance of coming up with it. He's bigger than most other defensive backs that he goes against. Big hands, strong hands, and on that play, he displayed all those skills we're talking about.
And there was a few blocks also on that play after the catch.
There were, and that's what you like to see, too. I mean, in order for, you know, short gains to turn into touchdowns and big gains, you need to have blocking down the field.
Let's talk more about the things that happen offensively, and it all boils down to the simple fact that, again, touchdowns are really have been, it's an anemic production right now in 6 games, 9 touchdowns. That's 14.2 points per game. It's hard to win games with just that amount of production. But again, the opportunities were there. We've been saying it week after week.
We have been saying it, and the first step is to get opportunities and get the ball down there. But you get in the red zone, you need to be able to, you have to get touchdowns, especially against good football teams like we've been playing lately. You know, yesterday, first and goal, you know, inside the 10, inside the 5, and can't cash it in. And when you have to sell for field goals, it normally hurts you late on, and it did.
And in a typical situation, not that Matt can't do it, but Michael Bush would have been an option there, but it could not go because of the ribs, that alters things a bit too.
Yes, that alters it, but you know, wherever the tailback is, you know, at the time, he's got to be able to get it in there, and he can't get it in there, of course, without good blocking. And you know, it's really on both, you know, of course, the backs and the line, and then get it done then.
Strong run game to start first quarter, last 3 quarters not as well. Did they adjust to what you were doing?
They did some, but I think as much as anything, you know, early on, especially first quarter, able to run the ball. But when you convert and you keep the chains moving, you can do a lot of that. It normally comes down to that. Look at all the statistics you want to from yesterday, but third down conversions of not converting, I mean, on any of them.
I was just about to go there. Yeah.
It is hard to keep drives going, and you don't get a chance to have as many runs as you like.
I didn't even realize it till today, and I have to double check really here on the fly. Do you know how many plays you ran offensively?
48.
That's hard. No, that's hard. And again, that goes back to the third and fourth down conversion. It was 11 opportunities.
Yes.
Or 10, excuse me. But that's not enough plays to score.
No, it's not. And again, that all leads to not being able to score as many points, you know, lately as we would like. And in order for us, of course, to take care of business this week against Arizona, and of course the following week too, we got to take care of those third down. And on the other side, we let them convert too many times, so both sides didn't work.
How much is that on the quarterback, Aaron Rodgers, and his ability right now to make those big plays on third and fourth down, though? Sometimes you, as you always like to say, guys are on scholarship too. You got to give them some of that credit, dude.
No, you have to give them some of the credit. Of course, as we look at it, talking defensively yesterday when we were going against Rodgers, there were a couple of plays were in our favor. Third and long situations, you really hate to miss those. And I said, if you look at most of the third downs, he kept the play going. Very few of them, they just converted, right away. Looking at that first read.
It's 7:18 when we come back. Joining Lovey is Bears receivers coach Daryl Drake.
Bears Insider continues with head coach Lovey Smith. Joined this week by wide receivers coach Daryl Drake. Bears Insider on the home of the Bears. News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
Jay in the gun. Three on the play clock. Takes the snap. Pressure coming. Jay launching. Going deep. Down the left side. It's Alshon Jeffrey makes the grab. Another penalty marker. This time, who's it on? Oh, again. Third time in this second half. Alshon Jeffrey.
Yeah, I was a little disappointed, Double D. Lovey Smith and Daryl Drake join us now, as you guys, I'm sure, were as well. So a very subjective game at times in terms of pass interference. It's been that way for decades in this game, offensively or defensively. You just don't see three in one half on one player, and that's what happened to Alshon Jeffrey. As we welcome you back to Bears Insider, good evening, Daryl. How you doing?
Pretty good. About as well as expected.
Right. And so both of you chime in because you heard our disgust and surprise in the league. I believe I read this where there were 72 offensive pass interference penalties coming into this week's games in the league for all those games. And to get three in one game at a minimum, it's highly unusual. So you guys have broken down the tape a lot more than I have. So let us hear what you guys think.
Well, obviously, they were called. Again, for me, it's the first time since I've been coaching I've seen three caught on one guy. But it is what it is, we have to adjust, make adjustments when they're calling them that way, do everything we can to not, let those things happen again. But, again, they called them. There's not a lot you can do about it now. When it's being called that way, you just have to find a way to make an adjustment to it and hopefully, not get those things called that way. But, again, I've never experienced that, and I'm sure you've never seen that.
No, and it's not cut and dry, Lovey. You can make a case for each side saying, okay, yeah, this should have been called, and no, it shouldn't have been called. Am I correct?
No, you're correct when you say that. It's a lot like offensive holding. And you just have to see how it's being called, and you hope that it's called a certain way.
Consistently
yeah. For both sides is what you hope for. I say, just looking at after watching the video, everyone was doing a lot of touch and holding all the way down the football field. And as Daryl said, it's never happened three times like that. So this is new territory.
And the Bears play physical. Charles Tillman plays a physical corner. Tim Jennings is a physical corner. They have physical corners. You know what you get into. Alshon is a physical player, wants to be a physical player. He says, this is how I'm supposed to play physical. But when it happens, when you're trying to get back and win a game, an important game, and it's one after the next, his head must have been spinning. Like, what am I doing? How do I fix that?
Well, sure it was, and we talked after the first one, thing that I told him, you have to be really careful. I mean, this is happening, the way it's being called, but after it's being called three times, and it gets discouraging. But at the same time, as a professional football player, you have to keep going, and you can't let this sidetrack. The game is a little bit different. They're a man team, and they're going to play man, and the only way you can play man consistently and be good at it is you got to beat on receivers. Well, there's a 5-yard rule, but there is no 5-yard rule, and that's just the way it is. And if I'm on defense, I'm going to try to beat on you down the field too, because it's going to keep you off balance. Well, you know, a guy like Alshon with his size, you can't afford to let a guy beat on you down the field. So you do things, try to get his hands off of you, you know, if it's not going to be called. And you try to get a feel for how the game's being played, you know, within that game. You know, some guys let you play, some don't. Obviously, you know, this was something that I'm sure that they were looking for early. I'm sure they said, hey, watch 15, he pushes and this and that. And just so happened that Alshon became the guy that, you know,
One's the savvy vet and one's a kid rookie, mm-hmm. right? Who doesn't have a lot. But and you can make, hey, sure, I'm sure Brandon's gotten away with something mm-hmm. a time or two, right?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's part of the game. Again, you know, when guys are playing man-to-man coverage and they're trying to be physical with you, they're the only way that they can, you know, stay with a big physical receiver is grab and hold him. Well, as a receiver, you have to make sure you get his hands off of you. So, you know, it's a fight to win the balls in the air. And as this happens, you know, you got to let guys play. And, you know, if a guy's just blatantly pushing, then I can understand you're calling that. But if a guy's trying to, you know, defensive backs, you know, especially on deep balls, are taught to, you know, I like to paraphrase, run you off the highway. They're going to try to run in front of you and run you off the road. But as a wide receiver, you try to hold your ground. You try to hold your line. You can't afford to let him run you off the highway, so to speak. So, you know, what guys try to do is try to hold their ground. Well, if you're trying to hold your ground, he's trying to run you off the highway. Naturally, there's contact. And then when the ball's in the air, you have to adjust to that ball at the last second. So when you adjust to that ball at the last second, then sometimes there's some separation. And, you know, if you turn early and try to adjust to the ball really early, then it allows him to adjust. You know, so you try to hold him off as long as you can. And then when the ball's there at the last second, you try to open up and make that catch. And that's where separation came. And, you know, in my opinion, there was some acting. You know, they had planned it. And, you know, it's just my opinion, you know, that, you know, there were some flops.
Well, you know, their opinion, so. Mike McCarthy called the infractions blatant. And Don Capers today saying the defensive backs knew they would be pushed and shoved by the Bears receivers and felt more flags could have been thrown. So that's it. But, you know, moving forward, though, with the last two games, now same thing's going to happen. Coaches are going to say, hey, watch 17, watch 15. Do you fear now that it's going to be under a microscope?
No. Okay. We're going to go out and play, and we'll adjust and make adjustments, and some things we'll work on. But no, we can't play fearful of them calling that. We got to go out there and play. We still have to play physical. We still have to not let them control us running down the field. You know, you can't do that, because if you do that, then they can control your route. You know, so we have to do things and use, you know, the right technique to get them off of us and make sure that we're not in that situation.
It's not going to take any superhuman effort. We just got to play football. We just got to do the things that we know we can do. We got to do the things we put on tape in the past, and we just got to get back to fundamental basic football.
This is Bears Insider with Bears head coach Lovie Smith. Joined this week by wide receivers coach Daryl Drake. Brought to you by McDonald's and sponsored by University of Phoenix and Verizon. Once again, the voice of the Bears, WBBM's Jeff Joniak.
And good evening, everybody. This is Bears Insider, and glad you're joining us tonight with you until 8 o'clock tonight. Ask a Bears question in the Toyota Fan Zone. Tweet any Bears-related question using the hashtag BearsToyota, and it might be answered by myself or Tom Thayer during the Bears Game Night Live broadcast Sunday nights on Fox Chicago. If the selected question belongs to you, you receive a Bears Pro Shop gift card. Use the hashtag BearsToyota. With you until 8 o'clock tonight at 7:35 here on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM WBBM. That was Jay Cutler after the game. Sacked now 11 times, intercepted 5 times by the Packers in 2 games. And the interesting thing is, you do your job, get a little bit of help, it's quite possible you could see the Packers again in the playoffs.
I mean, that's all we can hope for now. No, of course, disappointing in what happened, but for us, there is a chance, and we have to, you know, go a different route than what we plan. That's all that was decided yesterday, and first up this week.
Which leads me to Brandon Marshall, a very emotional post-game press conference yesterday. He put a lot of emotion into this game. Not to say he doesn't in any game, but he made it clear from the beginning of the week that this was important to him, called it the biggest game of his life. Obviously, you saw him during and after the game, and I'm assuming today as well. Do you like the emotion he showed? And do you respect the fact that it meant a lot to him this particular game?
Well, I do like his passion. I love his passion for the game. I love the way he works. I love, his competitiveness, on the field. And sometimes, Brandon is a very emotional guy. After games like yesterday, you have to step back and take a deep breath, But I think yesterday, after the game, he probably didn't get a chance to take a deep breath and may have said some things that he may not necessarily have meant to say. But, you have to talk to Brandon about those things. But at the same time, I do like, what he stands for as a football player. Because, like all of us, he wants to win. He's very, very passionate about it. This game did mean an awful lot to him. He did say some things and laid some things out there on the line. And naturally, when it didn't happen, he was very, very disappointed, like all of us. And, every game and every opportunity is a learning experience. It's a learning experience for us as coaches. It's a learning experience for players. It's life experiences. And, we all learn from those things. And hopefully from this game, we all have learned something to help us with this next game, which is very, very important for us.
Building frustration, obviously, with the lack of scoring and the offense struggling as it has. And he used the term starting to affect him too much right now. How do we decipher what that means when it involves Brandon?
Well, only Brandon truly knows that. What he has to do, and we talked about this today, is he has to keep everything into perspective. And he has to understand that, we all have a job to do, and it's up to each individual to give it his all. Sometimes things don't go like we all want them to. As part of life, we have to figure out why and adjust and make sure that we don't let those things happen on a consistent basis. But, I think for him emotionally, it was tough on him. And as he's had an opportunity to sit back today and reflect on the things that need to happen, I think he feels a lot better about, where we are and what we have to do. One of the things he said to me, he said, "Hey, I'm totally with you. We're going to find a way to get it done." And that's as a team and as coaches and as players, that's what you want.
He used the term accountability yesterday, and leaders of teams, and he's not a team captain, but he is a leader in that room. He's a leader in that receiver's room, and that happens with players. They do hold each other accountable, correct?
Yes, they do. All of them. And I'd say it was definitely the case yesterday. Everybody, and I know we're talking about Brandon right now, but everyone wanted to win that football game, and it hurt everyone. Some guys display their emotions a little bit differently, but again, everybody's trying to get the same thing accomplished, and we didn't yesterday.
How, if it even is possible, that this is happening? 2 weeks now, Alshon having to overcome a couple hurdles. Do you keep the man's confidence up? I'm not assuming he's lost his confidence, but those are things that could be in a young player's head.
Sure, they are, and it's very devastating to him because, we're talking about how bad Brandon wants to win when Alshon wants to win just as bad, and he knew that a lot of opportunities were going to come through him during this game. We talked about that, prepared him for those things, and you look back at the game, he made the catches, but didn't necessarily get the plays. And so it was very disheartening for him. But at the same time, the thing I'd say, hey, things happen. This is going to make you stronger as a football player and as a man. We got to man up. We got to go get it again. Those opportunities are going to present itself again this Sunday. And I expect you to be ready and take full advantage of those opportunities.
And the continuing need to get more people involved. Only three guys caught passes yesterday. So, for example, Earl Bennett, it's just been a star-crossed season because of injuries and now the concussion, so he hasn't been able to get into the flow. Alshon wasn't in the flow. Devin, same story. Where's Devin at in terms of that part of his game?
You know, the last couple of weeks, you know, he's done some things, some good things. You know, he had the one play against Minnesota you like to take back, but, you know, in this game, you know, he did some good things. He was, you know, where he was supposed to be when he was supposed to be there. So we just have to find ways to continue to work him in there and continue to get him involved. You know, did a great job for us in our return game, you know, was better there. So those opportunities will be there, and when they present itself, you know, he's got to take full advantage of them.
It is 7:41 here on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM WBBM. The Bears All Access Radio Show will be broadcast live in store at Sports Authority of Vernon Hills on Thursday, December 27th. So join us showing up from 6 to 7 at Sports Authority in Vernon Hills for a chance to win raffle prizes and meet Bears players. Here with Lovie Smith and Bears receivers coach Daryl Drake. Eric Weems. I'm just going to throw names at you here. Eric Weems. He's gotten a lot of playing time. Not a lot of targets, but he's got that fight in him. You don't mistake him for just a little receiver.
I love him. I mean, when you're in a fight, you're going to go get him and let him lead the charge, you know. So I've liked what he's done up to this point. You know, he's very emotional. He gets after it. You know, you can ask him to block a linebacker, he's going to go block a linebacker. You can ask him to block a defensive end, he's going to go block a defensive end. You know, whatever you ask him to do, he goes out there and tries to do it to the best of his ability, and that's what you love about him.
All right, you brought up Joe Anderson yesterday. So you tell us what you've seen from him throughout the course of the season in practice, because that special teams hit, I mean, that was like, that was as infectious as anything that happened yesterday in that first quarter, which was a very good first quarter for the Bears.
You know, like some guys, all they need is an opportunity and need a chance, and the thing with Joe has is he has some toughness, and he has a lot of athletic ability, you know. And, you know, I like what I see out of him. You know, he, as a receiver, he's tough. He catches the ball well. He's strong. He's got a big body, and I think he has a chance to be a really good football player.
Any particular area on the field where he would excel? Outside, inside, doesn't matter?
It doesn't matter. You move him around. You know, he can play in, he can play out. You know, he's probably more suited to be outside, you know, because of his strength. But at the same time, you know, you can move him inside. But, you know, he's a guy that's still learning, very raw. You know, went to Texas Southern University and you know, played a couple of years there. And I think it's all ahead of him.
In terms of what you guys have tried to do offensively this year, the route running and so forth, how have you felt the fellas have run routes this season? And have you, and even in a broader picture, have you tweaked Brandon Marshall's game since he's come here?
Well, somewhat. But, you know, Brandon's been around, and he and Jay are so much on the same page a lot of times and in a lot of situations. You know, sometimes, you know, we may have conversations about not doing this or doing that, you know, but for the most part, we let him play because they are on the same page. Early, there were some situations where they weren't, and, you know, we had to talk about those things. Jeremy and I had to get together with those guys and say, hey, you know, we have to do this, we have to do that, and they responded very well, but they have such a good rapport and such a good feel for one another. You know, for the rest of the guys, for what we've been asking them to do, you know, I think you can always get better running routes. I mean, as a route runner, every time you step out on the football field, it's another chance to get better. You know, you're going to always be tweaking things. You're going to always be learning different techniques that you have to use, because the game is forever changing, and defenses adjust. They adjust to what you're doing, so you have to constantly adjust to what they're doing to you. You know, secondary play, corner techniques change, you know, and you have to figure out what guys are doing. You know, are they jamming you? Are they jamming with their left hand or jamming with their right hand? What are they doing? How are they opening up? You know, and adjust to what is happening to you each and every game. So, you know, from a route running standpoint, yes, you know, they've done a good job, but we can always get better.
And at times, you know, analysts have no, they don't know the plays or exactly how routes are to be run, so there's a lot of assumptions at times on route running.
You know what? There is, and I try not to listen to it, but because a lot of times when I do listen to it, I say, he has no idea what he's talking about, and these are some guys that have played, you know, because they don't understand the system or what the guys are being told, but you know, that's their opinion. And, you know, at the end of the day, when we come in and watch the film, we know within the system that there's a right way and a wrong way, and we grade them based on what our system is about. And, you know, that's the most important thing.
All right, Dale, we got to let you go. Quick word on Arizona real quick. What kind of pressure or what kind of defense in terms of their secondary the Bears going to see on Sunday?
Very good defense. Extremely talented. You know, bring a lot of pressure. You know, they like to bring a lot of blitzes, move people around. Their front is really, really good. And they're really talented in the secondary. You know, they got one corner that'll match up well with us, Patrick Peterson. He's big, he's strong, he's fast. You know, so I would expect him to come out there and follow Brandon wherever he goes. You know, he did that versus Calvin Johnson. You know, but at the same time, you know, we have to go out and play. There are going to be some one-on-one matchups. We have to take advantage of those. You know, we're going to have some of the same looks and some of the same things we had this past week. You know, Alshon's going to go get his chance again, you know, and hopefully, you know, this week, you know, things will be better for him. But at the same time, you know, we just have to go out and play our game, not worry about what they do, because it's really not about them. It's about us.
All right, Daryl. Always a pleasure. Okay. Daryl Drake, Bears receivers coach, back with Lovie Smith in the final segment here on Bears Insider on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM WBBM.
The Bears Insider continues exclusively on the home of the Bears, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM WBBM.
This season, we can build on the great things that we've done. We still have two games left to play in which we can build on, you know, the constructive things that we can do in those games. And then obviously the mistakes, just try to weed those out as best we can.
That is Nick Roach following yesterday's loss to the Green Bay Packers on Soldier Field's turf as the Packers become NFC North Division champs and the Bears now have to take care of business in Arizona and Detroit as they try and get into this NFC playoff party. Jeff Joniak along with Bears head coach Lovie Smith. Overall play of the defense we touched on in our opening segment. Give us more insight into how some of these guys played together because there were some new bodies, obviously. One, Nick, in his second straight start at middle linebacker, but flanked this time outside of the nickel, which you guys were in a lot, with Blake Costanzo. And that fire he shows on special teams showed up on defense as well, which you expected.
Yeah, so we did expect that just based on, I mean, who he is and how he plays every down. I know he's primarily been a special teams player for us right now, but that's what he did. He played hard, and he was aggressive. He made plays, too. I think he was six tackles or so. Just a good start for him, and I know he felt good about it. And it's good for his teammates to see him in a different role also.
Yeah, and in preseason, you saw some of that stuff being done inside at
yes.
middle linebacker.
And that's, you know, the other part. I mean, he's been playing Mike linebacker. But, you know, you get injuries, you have to be ready to go wherever the team needs you. And he moved to the outside and did a good job replacing Geno Hayes.
Yeah, Lance Briggs led you in tackles, according to the NFL stat book. I don't know what you guys came up with today, but a nine-tackle game for the Bears and the sacks. Corey Wooten, adding on to what he's done since the start of this season, overall, you know, he's had a breakout season in terms of his sacks.
Yes, he has. I mean, those sacks were big yesterday. I think he had 1.5 or so. But, you know, Corey, you know, has earned his way, you know, into the starting lineup and made some plays for us yesterday.
How about Chetta Azugu?
Chetta, good, you know, first time where he's had a, you know, a significant, you know, portion of playing time. But, you know, I thought he did a good job coming off the edge, playing hard, making his presence known.
And you brought Amobi Okoye back. He got into the mix as well. The amount of injuries, though, has necessitated the need to do this. And now Matt Tuina has been placed on IR, so he's unavailable. If you needed another guy in a rotation, you brought Corey Brandon on the roster today. Tell people about Corey Brandon, big tackle that you guys got a taste of seeing in preseason, and you liked what you saw to keep him around. He's been on the practice squad most of the year.
Yes, he's a guy that's been around here most of the year with us. You mentioned his size, good height, weight. Has really worked hard in the weight room. And, you know, just a young player we thought had very good talent to someday be a, you know, good NFL, you know, player, getting time. And that process has been moved up a little bit.
It's been a nutty year for the offensive line in terms of just the movement. It's not ideal, obviously. There's a few teams that, you know, every year get 16 straight starts in every snap from their front five. That's not the case this year for a variety of reasons. Does it worry you, even at this point in the season, with two games to go, the amount of changes, and now Jonathan Scott did not finish the game yesterday at right tackle?
Well, I mean, an ideal situation, you know, you play the same five guys all year, you know, keep them in their, you know, in their normal position, but it just doesn't work like that most of the time. You just want good options that you feel good about if you have to make different combinations of guys, you know, starting along the offensive line. So we played guys in different roles yesterday, but hopefully we'll be able to lock in a little bit more.
And are you doing that to find the right chemistry?
Well, injuries had a lot to do with it, and just most of the time, if you see injuries or if you see different combinations, it's about injuries or just, you know, how a player's playing.
How about James Brown? Because with every snap is a growth experience, and, you know, he's going to be asked to do things that, you know, he hadn't done all year, and from snap to snap, you don't know.
Yes, and that was the case yesterday. He did some good things. He would like to have some plays back, of course, but you do get that a little bit. And but that's why it's important that the offensive line plays together. A lot of times if a guy hadn't played his, you know, his all-pro game, you know, you have others around him, you know, that's playing theirs.
And I forgive me because I forgot. I the Gabe Kiremi moving Chris Spencer in there, that was also just for the chemistry reasons and trying to get the best five going?
That was a part of the plan also.
Yeah. Okay. It is 7:51 on News Radio. Oh, 7:56, excuse me, on News Radio 780. My BlackBerry just flipped from 51 to 56 in 5 minutes. You're good, Lovey. I don't know how that happened, but it did, so I apologize out there. All right, let's... we got to talk about Charles Tillman because another forced fumble. 10. Ties the NFL record in a single season with O.C. Uemenyiora. Now, that's a defensive end, rushing the quarterback, potentially from the blind side, and that happens. Robert Mathis was the league leader for a number of games in terms of since Charles has gotten in the league, he had 38, but now he's blown by that, too. And now nobody in the NFL since Charles has entered the league has forced more fumbles, which, you know, we've talked about it so much, we are used to it, but it's a significant number for a corner.
Yes, it is, and he should have that record the way he strips the football. And, of course, we haven't gotten as many takeaways lately as we would like, but Charles, as you watch his play, he's continued to play the same way. Kind of whenever he has an opportunity, and that's what you're looking for, you want strip attempts. And whenever Charles has an opportunity, he's trying to get the football out of there.
It's a career high, so you've never seen anything like it.
No, we haven't. Career high doing it. You know, we have a big play board, too. He set all, you know, the, you know, records on that also. And we have games to go. And we'll need all of those this week and the next couple games in order to, you know, of course, to get into the playoffs. But it's about that. You know, it's about taking the ball away this time of the year. There's just no more important statistic than just that.
Tell us about Arizona. Offensively, a lot of changes at quarterback. Beanie Wells in the backfield, and, of course, an outstanding receiver, one of the best around in Larry Fitzgerald. That's for starters. Offensive line has had a lot of issues.
Yes, it's had a lot of, you know, injuries and just overall play. They've given up a lot of sacks. You know, it's been a revolving door a little bit at the quarterback position. Beanie Wells is a heck of a football player, but he's been hurt a lot, but he was able to come back. He played well this past week. You mentioned Fitzgerald. I mean, one of the best receivers in the game, so... have a lot of talent. And on the defensive side of the football, they've been playing great defense all year. Great corner in Peterson, great lineman in Dockett. I mean, there's just a lot of good players all around.
You like that linebacker, Darrell Washington?
Darrell Washington has had a heck of a year.
Good player. He's
an outstanding player.
And Dockett's a load, right? I mean, he plays, he's a guy who could fit in a lot of different systems.
Yes, he could. He's a load. He plays the run extremely well. He's a pass rusher, too. Just a talented football player.
Bears Huddle and Bears Blitz brought to you by Jimmy John's. Your chance to catch up on Bears news every Wednesday and Thursday at 4:30 on Comcast Sportsnet Chicago, part of the Chicago Bears network of shows. And watch Bears Game Night Live, brought to you by Toyota, Sundays at 10:35 on Fox Chicago, part of the Chicago Bears network. All right, let's put a nice, neat bow on it now. Take us home. Give us where your head is at, where your team is at, where you think they are mentally, and what they got ahead of them. The opportunity ahead of them.
And that's just it. That's all we're talking about, the opportunity ahead of us. We need to win out. We need to get 10 wins. The only way to get 10 is to get 9. That's why it's just about this Arizona game. Got to go on the road, and, you know, we played well on the road this year, and we know what we need to do. All three phases are going to need to step up in order for us to achieve our goal.
All right, Lovie, good luck.
Thank you.
As Bears head coach Lovie Smith, special thanks to Bears director of broadcasting Greg Miller, producers Lisa Fielding and Andy Gersher. For Bears head coach Lovie Smith and assistant coach Daryl Drake, I'm Jeff Joniak. Join Tom, Ron, Jim, and Jay noon Sunday and 3:25 the kickoff from Arizona. Thanks for listening, everybody. This is WBBM at HD Chicago, WCFS-FM and HD1 Elmwood Park, Chicago. I'm Jeff Joniak. Have a great night, everybody.